Hello and welcome to Clear the Air with me, Jess.
And me, Kaylee. Let's Clear the Air with Jess and Kaylee will be available on all platforms where you listen to your podcast. The podcast is there to discuss all things personal, mindset, political, female, and a mass of food sharing. So make sure to tune in to us every Tuesday. Thanks, guys.
Hello.
Hello, darling. How are we?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the sunshine, but not having to defrost my car. That's upsetting me. You know, when you know it's going to be a sunny day. Yeah, like, you know, when you wake up early and you think, oh, it's a clear sky. It's going to be a beautiful day. And then you go out and you've got to defrost your car. And then that really
livid. Yeah. That's upsetting. You need to park directly in sunlight.
Yeah, I know. I do. But yeah, no, I'm good. I'm really excited. Like, daffodils coming out, tulips.
The change of seasons is always nice to watch. And here's going to be a philosophical moment from me. Didn't even say that right. But it's like our lives when we go through different stages and it all comes back round. So that's why I like to look at the seasons when it changes, because I feel like we do that all the time with our own bodies and our minds.
We do, except the fact that, like, I feel like the change of seasons, like, beautiful, whereas, like, as I'm aging, I feel like I'm just slowly deteriorating, you know?
Not a chance. It's fine wine. I look back at old pictures and I'm like, thank God for aging. I'm going to keep doing this aging malarkey.
I literally, honestly, I don't know what happened to me. Last week, I've done my back out. And you know that thing when you do something like that with your back and no one else can see it? And, you know, you moan, don't you? You're like, oh, my back, you know? And I don't think Kieran quite believed me. And then I loved it. Well, I didn't love it because I'm suffering. But I looked in the mirror the other day. I mean, I'm not one to look at myself naked in the mirror very often. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not, you know, it's not my favorite activity. But I went to get something from the spare room. We've got like a full length mirror. And I looked and I was like, the fuck have I got a lump above my bloody bum? I've got like a third bum. And it's where I must have really hurt my back. And it's kind of, what do you call it? It's
swollen.
It's swollen. Do you know what? Every time I say that story, I never remember the word swollen. But yeah, it's swollen. I've got like a massive lump on the back of my back.
That's annoying. It's age though, because it was my birthday on Wednesday, turned 33. Yeah. And Jermaine took me to Top Golf and then to trampolining.
Yeah.
And I mean, we had the best time. We went around like bloody 5 year olds. And to be fair, there was only 5 year olds there except for us. But we were having the best time. But like half an hour into air hop, which is a trampolining park, we'd be done like assault courses, like wipeout, total wipeout, that kind of stuff. And we started feel sick. I was like, we need to go home. And then like we got home, our entire bodies felt like we had flu because we were so achy. Oh, and the next day it was worse than going to the gym. So I was like, okay, we're so cool. We love doing young stuff. Our minds are so young. This is fabulous. And then after a while, you're like, yeah, that's what it means to get old. It hits you after a bit differently.
Yeah. To be fair, mate, I mean, hitting differently. I mean, you were like flip-flopping everywhere in your Instagram. Yeah. I was like,
well, that's what I used to do in my kids. When I was a kid, I was really good at gymnastics. I thought, I'm going to try it. Let's see if I can do it.
It's amazing.
And I went for it. But yeah, maybe need to.
I was incredibly impressed. A bit more. Incredibly impressed. I was going to say something then when you were talking about that. Aching. Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? You know, when you see kids and they're running around and they fall over, and my friend today was showing me a video of her nephew and he's just like all over the place, he's like running around, and you're fine, you might get a scrape, a bump, have a little cry. When you get older, I mean, if you're gonna flat, you're probably gonna break something, hurt something, pull something, and that's the non-enjoyable part.
That is the non-enjoyable part. But the enjoyable part is I feel like our brains work so much. Like, I go back to my 20s and I always say this, I think it's just I was in such a rut. And then like as you get older, like my 30s, you've got to do the work obviously to understand yourself, but once I do, I just feel like it's a much better time because I'm starting to understand things. And even in the hard times, I can kind of talk myself and understand, okay, you're feeling like this because of X, Y, or Z. And so I do, there's a certain part of growing older that I really, really like. Just not the achy after air hop.
I've had to come off my social media. Everything's annoying me. I've just stopped looking at it. I'm getting it. I found myself constantly scrolling, comparing my life to other people's. Yeah. And I've had to come off of it.
And also, I think sometimes it's a healthy break.
Absolutely. And I think scandals have been really affecting me. And I was like, I need to move away from this. Like, I've got really involved with the Kanye and Kim situation. I don't know why. I'm intrigued. I'm waiting for the next tweet. I'm waiting for the next post. I'm like, I can't live off of other people's lives. But you find yourself doing that, especially with things like Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. You find yourself incredibly involved in other people's lives. Mm. Funny.
It's important, I think, to have social media breaks. I know we talk about social media a lot, but I think, you know, there's things that can really get to you. And I was thinking the other day, I was like, in some ways it's so good for me, like for my book launch or I got a new show series coming out and it's really exciting, or I can post my show reels and my acting highlights, so I, you know, I'm showing people what I'm doing. But on the other hand, it's such a toxic environment, because you do sit in control, like, you know, through Instagram especially. It's just a way to procrastinate to ensure that you never actually progress. So I think the healthy thing to do is post whatever you need to that you're doing work wise, or you know, to share what you're up to, and then put your phone away.
You're without a
doubt. It's the, you know, there's that program on Netflix about the social media's companies and how they've programmed the things. And I have said this before, where they it's like the same thing in the brain that goes off as what you would get when you're gambling. So when you get likes, it's like you're winning at the gambling machine. So they knew what they were doing to keep people on the app. And I do believe there should be some criminal sanctions against that. The word sanctions is popping up at the minute everywhere, but I think, you know, I think if we're playing people's brains now, and that I make it so important to me. And actually, this is leads on to our topic this week of riding the wave, because I, when I'm in a bit of stress, and I've had a few things, like I'm doing mortgages, I'm doing, got loads of things going on at the minute, and so first thing I've been doing in the last few, I suppose, week or two, is checking my phone first thing, which I never do. I'm so funny with my phone. It's off at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock and left outside my bedroom, and it doesn't turn on till 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, so that I've got my morning to myself without the influx. And actually, I've listened to a lot of podcasts and read a lot of books where CEOs and people that have had a lot of success ensure that they have that hour in the morning to themselves. Because it was Jay Shetty was talking about it and saying how first thing in the morning, you wouldn't allow 100 strangers, 1,000 strangers, 300,000 strangers to walk in your bedroom and start like nattering and telling you about their day, and it would just overwhelm you. You'd be like, get out, get out, get out. You'd go crazy. But it's exactly the same thing that is happening to our brain when we're going on Instagram. We're suddenly seeing hundreds of thousands of things go on, and our brain capacity's done. And what I did notice was that when I have been going on the phone first thing, this week I've had anxiety, because I've been doing it for nearly 2 weeks and I've had anxiety again. And I was like, right, that is a proof that that is a cause of this. Because, you know, I'm instantly, I'm not able to ground myself in the morning and think, okay, what do I need to do? I'm having things thrown at me before I've even figured out what I need to get through the day with. And you don't have the brain capacity for that. And also, you know, we only have a certain amount of thoughts per day that our brain can actually handle. That's scientific fact thing. So if we're suddenly chucked with a load of other people's stuff, how the hell are we going to get through our own? We're just going to sit and procrastinate. So I think, that's riding the wave, is that I've now noticed that. So I'm going to go back to doing what I know works and making sure that that first hour I don't touch that telephone.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, it's tried and tested. I mean, anyone who's had counselling, who's had therapy, you know, what we're taught a lot of the time growing up is to put on a smile, you know, to keep calm and carry on, to like, you know, that sort of thing. We're told to get through it, you know, kind of like put it in a box or compartmentalise. Not that you're explicitly taught that, but it is that sort of, that's what kind of, that's the output that we're all in our little machine, human through the school system, stuff like that. You know, mental health when I was a child in school, and that just wasn't a thing. I remember I had friends, and I can be honest with this now, I'm a massive an advocate for counseling, therapy. I think everyone needs it. Everyone needs to work out what's happened in their lives. But I had friends who, I remember in year 8, my friend, her parents were splitting up. She did counseling. I couldn't understand it. I was like, counseling? What, you need to talk about it? They're splitting up, mate. Get over it. Like, and it wasn't that I said that. I was supportive of her at the time, but I definitely had that thought, just because it wasn't a talked about thing. It was still a very stigmatized issue. But the the first thing they'll say when you do go and you discuss things and you go to counseling, and it's a very hard thing, counseling, because you'll sit there and you'll discuss everything that's going on, and in a way you expect them to resolve it. You expect to go, look at all this shit that I've got, look at what my brain's thinking, how do I get rid of it? And that's not the answer. you know, counseling and therapy's there to guide you, that actually those really shit moments are still shit. It's not that those, yeah. It's not that your anxiety's not got any levity behind it. So it's basically, I feel like I'm brutalizing this, but it's basically that your anxious thoughts that you've had for the last week, they're not anxious. What's been happening in your life would leave anyone to anxiety, but actually to sit in that, understand why it's creating those feelings, yeah. And then go from there. And I think that's a great thing for people to know, is that when you're going through those moments where you want to sob, angry, whatever it is, actually you have to still go through it. You have to still, yeah. Like you said about the wave, you can't just skip it, you can't just jump through, yeah. It you've still got to go up to come back down and look, yeah. At ways that you can maybe deal with it better, or ways that help you get through those anxious moments.
Yeah, and you've got to allow them anxious moments out, like you said, yeah. Because if you get it stuck and you ignore it, swipe it under the carpet, you keep swiping stuff under the carpet so long, the carpet's going to get ruffled, you know,
yeah.
Or the boiling pot scenario, you know,
yeah.
If you put so much, you keep it boiling, it suddenly explodes, because you've got to let these things out. I used to be terrible at holding stuff in, holding stuff in. And then it just came out in one big foul swoop when I was about 17, with major depression and suicide attempts. So it's like, yeah. You know, if these things aren't dealt with, that's where the problems are. So what I do now is, I was like, I sat in bed when I was having some stress filled thing this week, and I laid down, took some deep breaths, and I thought, I can't control what goes on, I can only make steps in changing different outcomes. So do your little steps and then you let it go for the day. You don't think about, yeah. It, like, you've got to let it go. So I find meditation really important for me, and I had been slacking on that as well,
yeah.
So I really am one, I'm an overthinker, I'm a Pisces and notorious for it, and I just couldn't anchor my thoughts. I'm all over the place. So for me, meditation really grounds me in the morning. And actually, while I'm sat here now, I haven't been doing it enough. I've re-downloaded the Headspace app, because I know I need to do morning and nighttime again,
yeah.
Because no matter how far you go on a healing journey, that is what got you there. So when you, yeah. Waver off it, it's no surprise that you would go back. Like, yeah. Trauma can be any kind, it can be a little trauma, it can be a big trauma, but once you find a way to fix it, it doesn't just go away, but you found a way to help yourself through that for the rest of your life. It's not just like you buy a ticket and off you go. It's, yeah. You buy a ticket and you keep using that over and over and over, because you need to keep up the tools that fixed it in the first place. Yeah. I suppose it's like, if you had a medical issue, you take an ongoing one, you'd have to take tablets for the rest of your life. Well, this is, yeah. Sort of like that for me. I have to take meditation for the rest of my life, because clearly my anxiety can start coming back if I don't use them tools.
Yeah. And it's not something that disappears. It's something that's controlled, and it's hard to describe. You can, it's not like a broken leg, it doesn't just fix and then it goes away. There'll always be scars left behind, scars, but you know,
well, like, it's patterns, said, things simmer. Develop.
Yeah, it's like a simmering, isn't it? It's what happens in life that leads to these things. It's just manners in which you've learned to deal with things, behaviors, and exactly what you said, it simmers. And when things happen in life, like what you're going through at the moment, you're going through stressful, life-changing things right now, and that leads to that simmering up, and ways in which maybe 10 years ago you dealt with things will be your natural resort, and actually
you accidentally go back to it. Yeah,
it's what you've learned and what you've gone through that helps you go through that. My mum's a massive advocate for Headspace. I think she's done like over 300 hours or something like that, day and night. I'm more of a, because I find that what creates my anxiety is what's going on in my head. So it's having a tick list of 30 things that I feel like are ongoing and really stressing me out, especially with what I do with the producing side of things. There's constant open-end questions, like there's constant ongoing. And what I find is, I like to of an evening put on kind of like a YouTube, it's like 24 hours like rainfall, and I like to just kind of lay there and just kind of in my head, like have like a checklist of everything, just to know where things are, so I can go, actually that project, no, it's still an edit, I need to leave that behind, so like don't have it wavering. And I like to do that nightly, just things that have, you know, like it's funny that it can do it to you, isn't it? But you know that feeling when you're having a nice time, you're having a joke, you're having a conversation, and there's that thought that makes you, your hairs kind of go up, that you have something looming.
I call it the bad butterflies. That's my anxiety. It's in my stomach. It's like, oh, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, exactly. I get it, where I know something's happening, and I'm like, Hayley, you're avoiding something. Hayley, something's going on. And I feel like I've got it all the time at the moment. Like I've constantly got in the back of my mind that feeling that like that something's looming over you and you're not keeping control of everything. Mm. And it's doing that nightly for me. I just feel like it grounds me. I know where I am. Cause that's the thing, isn't it? I haven't actually done it. I've been close, but never led to it. But I do think it's amazing what they say. If you are having an anxiety attack, to just kind of touch, isn't it? To touch your surroundings.
Yeah, see five things, smell five things. Yeah. That thing I've heard before. But yeah, I think, you know, our body is the best indicator of something being wrong. We have intuition for a reason. And I think, you know, we've faltered so far away from our natural instincts. We rely on fact and we rely on science and we rely on looking at social media or the internet or Google to find stuff out, where actually we know ourselves more than anything, but we've just drifted so far away from it. You know, animals know when they need to be still because there's a predator around, and it's just a natural instinct. They know when to run, they know when to get food, they know how to keep warm. And we've just pulled so far away from our natural instincts that we don't trust ourselves anymore. And I think whenever I've faltered away from not trusting myself is when something's always gone bad. So them bad butterflies, as I called them, it's my anxiety. I used to try and ignore it, but now I'll sit in it and I'll be like, okay, I need to figure out here what's giving me that, because then I can resolve it. So I'll sit and, you know, do the meditation and the anxiety will start to vanish. But then I can see my thoughts and I'll see, okay, that's bothering me. Now, why is it bothering me? Oh, because you've gone back to an old pattern. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so now I'm going to wake up in the morning and I try this differently. Like I had it last night, just something, I was up all night and I was like, okay, this, and then this morning I woke up, went straight on my phone and I was like, wow, pattern, that needs to stop. So I quickly take it down, put it away. And it's only in the pattern where you can see it to break it. So we got to be so kind to ourselves in them moments, rather than thinking, oh, I've done it again.
Yeah.
It's the being kind to yourself. Like, actually, congratulations, you've just noticed a pattern. Therefore, you can change it. And this is another thing. Like, a lot of our traumas can lead to addiction. And that doesn't mean, I'm not talking about drugs and alcohol, it can be, you know, or sex addictions, phone addictions, they're all the same. And I was listening to something the other day, and going back to the phone thing, it was, you know, if you wake up first thing in the morning needing an alcoholic beverage, you're going to be called an alcoholic. Every morning you've got to have a drink before bed, and every night you can't go to sleep until you've been having a drink.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have a problem with alcohol.
Yeah.
The same as like nicotine, cigarettes, if you need one first thing, you've got an addiction. And this is the same with phones. If you wake up first thing and the first thing you need to do is check your phone, and the last thing you do is on it at night, there is an addiction there. So we need to work out the source of what we're trying to, why we can't sit on ourselves and watch a movie before bed or read a book before bed.
Yeah.
We need to figure out the source of the addiction. And a lot of the time it's stuff from childhood that we haven't figured out. So again, going back to riding a wave, for me is that when I check the phones, I'm like, okay, put that away, and you're going to go and sit in this now on your own, read your book, do whatever you've got to do, do a bit of coloring and watch a film. So like adult coloring, it's fun. And you just, you know, you ride that. Okay, why is my addiction coming up? Because I'm feeling lonely, so therefore I need to check on my phone. Why can't I sit with myself right now? And when you can do that enough, you become at peace with yourself and start doing nice things for yourself. And I think, you know, it's always trying to find the source of where the anxiety is coming from that's causing any erratic or addictive behaviors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can tell you now that my addiction was chocolate as a kid, and it sounds so silly. Like, some people might be listening to this thing.
No, it's not chocolate. Silly at all. I know what you mean.
Yeah, like mine was. So, and it's exactly what you're saying with physical things. So we moved abroad when I was very young, when I was four. And to me, at the time, I mean, how much you can really know when you're four, but to me it was very exciting, you know, go and lead a new life, how exciting. You know, my parents are very adventurous. But then before we moved, I had a massive panic attack. Like, I literally woke up in the middle of the night, I physically couldn't move my body, I couldn't even speak, I was like shaking, I was trying to say mum, but it was like bubbling, I couldn't talk, I couldn't move my body. Luckily my mum, you know, like mums do, they're kind of half asleep, they, you know, they kind of have that. So mum ran in, and I went to hospital, and I can't remember the second one, but my mum said we had one when we arrived in Portugal as well. And it just shows you that my brain wasn't telling me that I was stressed or that I was anxious about this move, but really my body was saying, yeah, you are, like, you know, it was.
And it manifests physically.
Exactly. And then that manifested throughout my childhood, and we did move around a lot. I went to a lot of different schools, and you know, if my parents listen to it, there's no fault with that. I loved my childhood. Course, yeah. I wouldn't be the person I am today if I hadn't done that. I wouldn't be able to walk into a room of investors or go and do what I do without yeah. having moved around and had constant different environments. And I'm very close to have, you know, built a very strong bond with my parents, grown up quite quickly. I feel like I'm quite adult for my age. I, you know, and you feel like you've got to say all these things that are good because yeah. you're about to say something bad.
But that is the thing. They are good.
They yeah, are good. It's made you who you are. Yeah, exactly. And I have massive respect for my family. And I think no child can go through their childhood without scars. I think that's just life. Yeah. That's the way it is for everyone, as good as humans are as bad. But came with that, and you know, different eating disorders throughout my childhood, but a real... addiction to chocolate and sugar, and I don't know why, it just controlled my emotions. It helped me. Every time we stopped at a garage, I'd ask for chocolate, sweets, crisps, popcorn, whatever yeah. I could get my hands on. Whenever anything good happened, I expected that to be cheered with food or chocolate. If I went to a birthday party, it had to be sugar. Like and I know it sounds, I know it doesn't, because some people here will understand it, and I know you, Jess, fully understand it, but to people that maybe haven't delved into their childhood and traumas and addictions, it does sound maybe not like your usual start drinking alcohol at 12 sort of story, but it has led yeah. to a lot of issues in my life.
But it's addictive behaviours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Russell Brand said this on one of his podcasts, and it's these behaviors that you notice at such a young age. Like I was like that with chocolate. All I wanted to, if there was a family sized bar, I'd demolish the lot because it was there and I had to get it. And I don't know why. And I don't know where that came from. And I, you know, it wasn't like we couldn't have a chocolate every now and then, but it's come, there's an addiction, addictive something in there that stemmed from something else. And it's always interesting to go back and look at your younger self and be like where things stem from. Because once you do that, you can kind of heal from it. And I've noticed whenever there is a massive stress in my life, the first thing to do is go, my brain goes bump right back to first kind of lessons on trauma, life lessons on trauma. And then the pattern starts and I have to go, oh, crap, quick, break it there, because that is where I'm going to go wrong. And nothing changes unless you're changing the cycle. But like I said, it's not an easy thing to do.
No.
But once you do start mastering it, you can deal with it, and when them waves whack you, you can kind of learn to be like, okay, hang on, let's figure this out. And it's almost like putting a puzzle piece together as to why this is hurting you now, when actually it could be something quite minor, but it's taking you right back to an old feeling. And you know, our brains store memories. That's how we have memories, that they're stored. So obviously if something is similar, a similar body feeling to what something traumatic happened as a child, whether it be big trauma or little trauma, it's still stored there. So the little bit of feeling that is stored in your body as energy is going to come back and try and repeat that pattern about, well, that's what saved you last time. But unfortunately, what saved you last time probably isn't going to save you this time. You've got to learn the new ways, because it's not the same thing.
Exactly. And addiction isn't just what it is. So it isn't just having a drink. It isn't just whatever that would mean. It isn't just eating chocolate.
It's so many different things.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember I hated how I looked when I was about 15. I hated myself. I hated the fact that I wasn't a stick. I hated the fact that I had any sort of shape. I just thought I was disgusting. So for year 10 and 11, I used to chuck my lunch away every day, and I'd walk past a sweet shop and I'd buy 1 pound of toffee crumble and I'd eat it, and that's all I'd eat, break and lunch. That would be it. And it made me feel ill. It made me feel rank, like I didn't enjoy it. I'd look at other people's lunches and I'd be like, oh, I'm jealous, but I've chucked mine away. But within that, I knew it was wrong, but that feeling of doing it wrong and that shame is really what I was feeling about the issue itself, which was body confidence, body dysmorphia, whatever you want to call it. Those were the issues. And I basically gave myself a wave of those emotions just for eating a bag of chocolate. So exactly like you said, and it's learning when you're riding your, it's that's the thing you learn as you get older, is when you're riding that wave to not turn to addictions and coping mechanisms that are going to make it worse, or that are going to actually, like you said, you think it's solving something when really it's just having the tools that you know are there, whether for you it's meditation, whether it's you know, like the 10 steps, you know, understanding, whether it's focusing on what's the worst thing that can happen, where, you know, will this matter to me in 5 years, whatever those tools are, it is riding the wave.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, all we all have we all learn a coping mechanism, and throughout life, life teaches us by itself what's going to work and what's not. We haven't had a pre-run of this, and we're not going to get that either. Once we're dead, we're dead, that's it. I mean, we might go somewhere else, and I believe that we probably do, but
if we did a podcast about dying, fucking hell, I'd never. Have you ever had those moments, you know, when suddenly you think about the fact that one day you won't be here, everything's black?
You know what, it used to terrify me. It used to the thought of nothing, I don't think the human brain can really comprehend, because we always know a beginning and an end. We're born, we die, we know. I mean, if you think too much of going into space, it can really mess with your mind, because like, does it stop? Do you hit a wall? If you go past the Milky Ways, what happens then? Like, it's so much for the brain to comprehend. But I read a book by Michael A. Singer called Untethered Soul, and there's a chapter about death, and it really, really changed my perspective on it. It actually made me think so deeply, and I'm not scared to die now. And I don't mean that in like a suicidal way whatsoever. I mean, like, as in I'm comfortable, and I understand that happens to every single living organism on this earth. It comes to all of us, flowers, even trees, everything has a beginning and an end. And the reason I don't get frightened by it now is because I use it in the opposite way. I think to myself, and this is what I've been using in my anxiety the last 2 weeks, is that I am going to die one day, and I'm letting these 2 weeks go. And I looked at the jelly beans theory. You see where they take the jelly bean out for each day of your life, and you see it go down. And I'm like, goodness, I'm 33 now. That jar's getting emptier. Why am I so stressed out about this thing when I'm that's one jelly bean gone because I've been upset today. And that terrified me more than death itself.
Yeah, you're right. It's flipping out.
I would think to myself, I didn't let things. I don't want to lay in my deathbed and look back, whenever it may be. I don't want to sit there as I'm coming out of this planet or this realm, whatever we're in. And I don't want to say I wasted 10 years being depressed and down and worrying about things that didn't happen, because they don't matter anymore. And I did, you know, like from my youth to about 4 or 5 years ago, I did used to, that was all my life was worry. And sadness and pain that I hadn't fixed, and, you know, unfulfillment of my own life. Whereas now just hearing that chapter on death made me think, okay, you can fulfill your own life, so start doing it. And it's the little steps we make that give us that fulfillment. And even doing, like, for instance, think I'm going to do a podcast and we do this together, it fulfills me. It fulfills something inside of me, and hopefully helps other people in our hard, difficult moments.
So again,
if you want to read that book, it's Michael A. Singer, The Untethered Soul. And it was just a beautiful way to look at it, rather than looking at it as a you know, the final thing that's just pain and sorrow. We can look at it from the other way. It's like, am I living my life to the full? And am I living how I want to continue? And then you can change it. And I think it's important to know that we're just not here forever. So why are we wasting time on these things? Because that's, nothing can buy you time back. No matter, you know, we can sit for months thinking, oh, I want to be a millionaire, it'd be so much easier, it'd be so much better. Cool, it would be, but if you're not happy, you could be a millionaire and then you die and then someone else got you money. So it doesn't really matter in the end anyway, does it?
Yeah, I'm with you. Oh, it's such a scary thought. I'm still at the thought of scary.
I'm going to send you the book.
Yeah,
you I need to read it, that book. It makes it beautiful. It really does.
Yeah, and I need to.
And the legacy you leave behind. And I think that's important, because one thing I am obsessed with is watching videos of people in the morning. That really helps me. If I've had my morning, I'll sit and do my hair. I'll put on YouTube videos whilst I'm doing my hair of motivational people that have things to say that really can spark something in me. Yeah. And it's like, well, why can't I do that? So I'm going to go and do it. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to give it a good shot. At least then, you know, it's not about the end goal. It's about what's in the middle of it. And in the middle of it is all these lessons and teachings of other people and teachings of the world itself, what it gives us. And I feel like we just get that, you know, it's the beauty of it. We've got to find the beauty in the hard and the beauty in the nice and put it all together as one.
Definitely. You made me laugh a minute ago. You brought up a book, and a really close friend of mine who listens to the podcast every week goes, Jess reads so many books, doesn't she? It's like, she must be constantly reading. It just made me laugh when you brought up the book. I love it.
And it's funny because when I was a kid, I used to read all the time. And then in my depressive, really dark days in like the late teens, mid-20s, I stopped reading altogether.
Yeah.
And it was like I'd lost a part of myself. And when I started working back on you know, myself and trying to fix me, I realized that actually reading is so important to myself.
Okay, I'm really sorry, guys. I don't know, we were having such a good flow and then it just stopped recording.
Like, that's just typical technology, right?
You were saying about reading, and I'm the same. So I find reading, the problem I find with reading is I do it a lot on holiday because I find it all consuming. So when I start a book, I find it so motivating, encapsulating all of those inspiring words, but I sit there and I feel like I can't leave until I've finished it. So I find a lot of the time that I struggle in every day to put a book down once I've started it. So I try and like give myself one or two books to read a holiday, and that kind of keeps it going, you know.
I mean, I normally have on the go. I have a mindset book or a thought changing kind of book. So either Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's fabulous, Mel Robbins, like there's just so many people.
Bloody hell. I need you to send me a list.
And then I'll have like
the same happened again.
So I think Zoom's bored of us.
So we're gonna wrap it up.
Just in case you're concerned. So yeah, we really like to read. Student fear death. Ride the wave, everybody.
Read books. No, you will be sending me a list of books though. Sorry, you said you have one meditation on the go.
Yeah, it's like a mindset book. I have a book that's kind of like sometimes a crime book, just like a fiction story, like not a fiction and non-fiction, and like something to do with like self-improvement, and I kind of like go that, you know, flip them through, and I read every single night. Sometimes I'll read in the morning before I get out of bed, and I just think, you know, if I can't be back at school at 33 and I don't have the time to be back at school because we now work and have to earn a living and blah blah blah, I can learn so much from these people, and my mind thrives on learning where it didn't at school because I couldn't, because I had PTSD. I didn't realize. I couldn't learn. I physically could not learn because my brain couldn't take in that information. Whereas now it can, and it absolutely empowers me to be able to do that rather than thinking I'm just thick, which I did for so many years. Think I'm just an idiot. I'm thick. I'm never to do anything. And actually I'm not thick. I'm intelligent. And I understand things, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, so without a doubt.
The books empower me to be able to do that. And I think that's a real lovely thing to get from them.
Would you ever think of doing like a course or like an open degree or something like that?
I don't think I need to now. I'm doing the career I want to do, and I'm learning enough. I'm kind of funny like this. I'm like, I don't need a piece of paper to sort myself out.
Without a doubt.
I feel like I just need to learn. And I think I'm not being ignorant to think that, you know, I won't learn much from doing that. Of course you learn, because that's the whole point of going through it. But in this way, I'm learning what I want to learn about at the time, rather than little other bits that degrees might say you have to do to finish this, or have zero interest. I'm learning the things that I just want to learn about.
And keeping the brain active.
And that worked for me, and that worked for my lifestyle, because, you know, a degree doesn't work for everyone's lifestyle. So I feel like this specific way of learning and understanding just through other people's experiences is really, really
absolutely
helpful.
That's lovely. I'm just so scared that Zoom's suddenly going to cut us off.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to have to talk faster.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved this episode. I found it very inspiring.
I really enjoyed this episode. Yeah. I think it's been insightful.
Yeah. And I hope everyone knows that, you know, we're going to get on specialists. We're not specialists ourselves, but we have between us been through a lot and are aware of a lot, and want to share that with you all.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing about it, isn't it? You just have to, like, and that's exactly what I do with some of the books. They're not specialists, a lot of people, but once you learn something that works for you, why not share it with other people? Because it might work for them and you might have helped someone, and that's the main thing.
Exactly. It's always a pleasure.
Never a chore.
No. See you soon.
See you soon, love, and thanks everyone for listening once again.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. Thanks to all our listeners, and we will see you next week.
We'd like to say a special thank you to Audioboom for distributing the series, and Podball for our jingle and for our